this morning, and I'm excited because we will be talking about the value of community this morning. And I was overjoyed this weekend for a variety of reasons. And one of the big things is I got to go on the men's retreat, and it was really cool just sitting around with a bunch of guys around a campfire and just talking. And yeah, we made coffee, and we made a bunch of chili, way too much chili, and it was really cool. But before I went on the men's retreat, I came to the church, and I bumped shoulders with Dennis, who was setting up for Keenagers, and Keenagers is a group that happens here at the church for everybody that's 55 and older, and they were gearing up for their potluck that was happening that night. We were heading out to the men's retreat that was happening that night, and then I saw Michael and Ann and Annie. I saw Michael drive up with a balloon full of car full of balloons. And I was like, what is he doing? And it was really cool. And I realized that he was setting up for the Embrace Grace baby shower that happened yesterday for five women, expectant mothers. Two of them had already had their kiddo. And it was just a really kind of overwhelming experience being like, we are part of a community. And there's a lot of little other communities happening within our larger community. And for me as an assistant pastor here, I just felt an overwhelming sense of joy and just being like, I'm glad to be a part of Bismarck Community Church. And today I will be speaking on community. And community, that word is nestled right in the middle of our name, Bismarck Community Church. So we're going to look at the scriptures of what community is and might mean for us. And before I started, when I came here back to Bismarck and accepted my position here, I wrote down like all the ways that people can connect here in our church community. And I just want to read them, because if you ever leave this place being like, well, I could never find a way to connect, I want to read all the ways that you possibly could connect. And maybe God's stirring within you being like, I want to connect there, or I need to not connect there. But here are some of the ways. You can grow deeper in K groups. There's 9 of them happening all throughout Mandan Bismarck area. We have our Sunday morning discipleship classes that happen during the second service. We have our Wednesday evening discipleship classes that happen here on Wednesdays. We have Monday prayer and worship happening here in the sanctuary. We have our young adults group that will be relaunching soon. We have our men's ministry group. We have Keenagers. We have the worship team led by Brad. Hi, Brad. Right there. We have the media team. They're in the sound room. We have the coffee corner team. We have the prayer team. We have the greeter team. And then there's some other ways. We have the GEMO team, the partnership, where we have people that go on behalf of our church over to Ethiopia. We have Young Lives with K, investing into the lives of high school women who are pregnant. We have the Freedom Fellowship team that goes down to McLaughlin once a month. We have the Embrace Grace team that invests into young expectant mothers. We have the Jeanette Myrie Initiative, where right next door we have teams of people that go and serve in our local elementary school. And then we could go on, but we have KNDR, we've got Make Way Partners, we have the Kleins, we have First Choice, we have people that go to Cary, Mississippi, we have Welcome House and Hope Manor, some of the other ones. And I found it overwhelming that there are ways to get involved here at Bismarck Community Church, ways to invest into community, and those are but a few of them. And if you're ever wanting more info or to plug in or anything at all, please talk to me or talk to Jared or go to the MyBCC. All right, sweet. You guys did it better for Jared. That makes sense. Jared, you're doing a good job. Go check out the app or talk to one of us or talk to one of the consistory members, one of our elders or deacons. But there are ways to get plugged in if you're not already plugged in. And so today I'll be talking all about community. And it really starts with, in 2013, Chantel and I we moved away from Bismarck to Denver. And we moved to Denver because Bismarck was too cold. No, I'm just kidding. but let's be honest. Like, I bet at least one person who's lived in Bismarck has moved away from Bismarck because it's too cold. I mean, I don't know what the stats are, but I would love to just see them. No, but we didn't move away because it's too cold. We moved away for our schooling. And Chantel and I, we went to Denver Seminary. And our schooling was a three-year process, and we loved it. And early on, we started attending a church that a mentor of mine from high school had started pastoring in Castle Rock. And shortly after attending the church, we were invited to one of their small groups, kind of like a K group. And so Chantel and I, we decided to go, and we did, and we were a little bit nervous, you know, kind of like that first time going to meet some new people. And I would love to say that our first time going to that group was the most amazing thing in the world. But that would be a lie. And in fact, Chantel and I left the first small group meeting. We were very frustrated, weren't we? We were very frustrated, mostly by some of the comments that people in the group had made. And we had only gone once, and it would have been incredibly easy to never go again. But we decided, Chantel and I, that we at least needed to have a crucial conversation with this group that we had just initially met with about the comments that they had made. And I don't know about you, but for me, when it comes to having a difficult conversation, I love to avoid them. I absolutely love to avoid difficult conversations, and every single thing in me wanted to avoid going back to that small group. Because if Chantel and I went back and didn't say anything, their comments would fester within us. And if we didn't go back and we just avoided the whole situation, both sides would miss out on possible growth. And so, the following week, Chantel and I went back to say something. This was very difficult. I was like shaking. The men were chilling at a burger place, and the women were chilling. They were watching a movie. And I spoke up to the guys about how the previous week that I had been offended by the conversation that had taken place. And Chantel shared with the women how she left offended. And yes, these conversations were some of the most uncomfortable conversations that we ever had with people, but we had to have them. And because we did, we felt the release of the issue, and we weren't just passing it by. And however, you know, the group was going to read it, we at least had them. And we came to, at least to the table of the difficult conversation, and we had it. And by the end of our sharing, our group had apologized about the comments. And inevitably, Chantel and I, we continued going to that small group during our entire time in Denver. The group, it became our community, our weekly support system while we were in Denver. In fact, the church that we were attending had to close its door to a lease issue, and we continued to meet as a small group. And all of us, we started attending different churches, but our little community continued forward. We knew our small group would inevitably end as we started plugging into different churches, and we realized, though, that each one of us needed this group during this time of our life. The community for the season that we were all in, and we went through some really big things. We went through, like, financial issues together. We went through, we talked about infertility together. We talked about parenting together. We talked about jobs together. We talked about our joys together. We talked about our frustrations together. We talked about our relationship with God together. We talked about sin and how it impacted us together. We talked about our favorite movies. We shared our vulnerabilities, and we shared our fears of the future and what lie ahead. It was even in this group where another guy, his name was Josh, he asked me, "Hey, does anybody want to read the Bible with me in a year?" And I said, "Yes, yes, I do." And over the year, Josh and I kept each other accountable as we slowly made our way through reading the biblical text together through the YouVersion app. Now, Chantel and I, we could have run from this group, but we didn't. God gave us the courage and strength to have a very difficult conversation with a bunch of people we didn't know. And it could have resulted in us never returning to the group, but it led us to having a support system that we desperately needed during our time in Denver. Was it a perfect group? No, it wasn't. Did we always talk about God? No, but we tried. Did we offend each other? Yes, we did, often. Did we have tough conversations? Yes, we did. And sometimes we didn't. Would Chantel and I have changed it for anything? Not in a million years. We wouldn't change it. In fact, this coming March, there's some people in our group that were in Denver that are having some kids, or having twin boys, and we're going back to celebrate at the baby shower with that couple. And we wouldn't change it for anything. So it was very difficult, though, for Chantel and I to say goodbye to our Denver community, which consisted of my family, our church, our K group, or small group, our friends, our school, and the things that we were part of in the season that we were in. And we were also shaped in tremendous ways that we could not have ever imagined because we were in community. And deep behind all of this, behind Chantel and I, is the sense that we believed that community and being around others is vitally important. It's vitally important. It's so very easy to hide or to avoid or to isolate and to pretend that we are islands. But we, every single one of us, is not meant to be alone. Yes, we may need to retreat to our alone spaces. That's for you introverts. But if we remain there too long, we cut ourselves off from the community God has so intricately created for us. All of us want to be known. We may not know it, but we do. And yet, we can hide alone by ourselves. And we can also hide in a sea of faces. That's for all you extroverts. It is truly finding a community where people know us, and they won't leave us despite our shortcomings, failures, and brokenness. And communities like this, they take a long time to develop. It takes vulnerability, and it takes having uncomfortable and difficult conversations when need be. Do you ever find yourself, I find myself all the time, but do you ever find yourself knowing you need to have a difficult conversation for the sake of your growth and for the growth of another person or community, and yet you run from it? Do you ever experience that? You avoid it. You put it down deep. Do you ever find yourself thinking, man, things would be easier if people weren't involved? Does anybody ever feel that way? Man, this would be so much easier if it was just me and I had a team of me, and me. You know, right? Wouldn't it be easier? Do you ever not want to share your innermost thoughts for fear of being rejected or deemed unlovable? You see, we often find ourselves in opportunities for having difficult conversations all the time, don't we? We find ourselves in opportunities to participate in genuine community all the time. And in both these matters, we can either avoid them or we can engage them. And in both these matters, we can trust God with the process or we can trust ourselves with the process. Because we must be a people who are willing to go through the hard conversations for the sake of unity. And why? For the sake of our witness to an unbelieving world. And we must be a people who are willing to fully engage in community. Pastor Jared says this all the time. He said it so many times that I had to mention it. He says, we are like a bunch of porcupines huddled together in a rainstorm, right? For warmth. They have to, you know, they got to get close for warmth or else they're going to get rained on. But he says, when they're doing that, they're getting prickled by each other. And I like to think of that kind of like community. We need each other, but sometimes we're going to get prickled by the other. And in our staff meetings, we have been trying so very hard to change how we communicate with one another. And it's really hard sometimes, you know? The first thing we're trying to change is that when somebody brings up an issue about somebody else, we're trying so very hard to direct the person who has the issue toward the person and to having a difficult conversation with the person that they have the issue with. So for example, somebody, let's say Ashley comes up to me and she's like, "Jim, somebody doesn't like Brad." my hope is that we can direct the person who doesn't like Brad maybe to Brad, so that there's more of a, hey, if somebody has an issue, go talk with Brad. If you got an issue with Brad, go talk with Brad. So directing the conversations to the person that the issue is with. That's the first thing we're trying to change. The second thing we're trying to change is we're trying to have more face-to-face or phone call conversations. We're finding it very difficult to communicate with all of the many ways we can communicate. I mean, you have Snapchat, you have Facebook Messenger, you have cell phones and text messages and carrier pigeons and like all these different ways. I talked to somebody earlier this week and they're like, "Yeah, I can't do any of that internet stuff." They're like, I can do it. I just choose not to. I want to have the phone-to-phone conversation. And I really respected this conversation with this person because I'm like, that's what we need more of so that we don't clutter our communication. And you would think this stuff would be really simple, right? Having the difficult conversation, doing it face-to-face. And I'm not just pulling this out of thin air. I believe it's biblical. And so we are going to open up our Bibles. If you got a Bible, open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 18. This is going to be the first of two texts that we're going to look at today. And last week, I challenged everybody, Sunday mornings, please bring your Bible. If we believe that this is the Word of God, God's authoritative Word over our lives, we believe that this is how God speaks to us, bring your Bibles on Sunday mornings. Maybe it's a hard copy, or maybe it's on your phone, or another method, but please bring a Bible on Sunday morning. I thought it was encouraging to hear that on Wednesday nights for our Wednesday discipleship classes with our students, that they have been challenged to bring their Bibles on Wednesdays. So my challenge all the time is going to be bring your Bibles, because this is what we believe, one of the ways God speaks to us. And so we're going to look at Matthew 18, and we're going to start in verse 15, and we're going to go to verse 18. So if you would, follow along with me. And it says, if a brother, you could say, or sister, sins against you. Verse 15. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault, between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. Verse 16. But if he does not listen to you, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Verse 18, truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. This is the word of God. It speaks to us. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your text this morning. Just this text of dealing with sin, and even how to have difficult conversations within our church context and in our church community. Help the words that come out of my mouth be clear, and may they be your words, and may they glorify you. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. I think we can look at this text and believe that conflicts can be settled, and if we follow the method in the text, the conflicts can be settled easily, right? They can be settled without getting others involved, where rumors won't be spread. The other thing, even looking at this text, is this idea that when two people are at odds or have issues with each other, that restoration is the objective. And restoration and having the crucial conversation is something that builds up us as disciples. It's kind of part of our discipleship process. But as we read in the text, there are very simple steps, and I'm going to look over them again. So look in verse 15. It says this: if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. Now, if you have a, if you're like a sister or you have a sibling, and you're like thinking like, my brother, I'm going to go tell my brother all his faults, but it doesn't say sister. This applies for both the men and the women, the girls and the boys. But this first step is really this: if you have an issue, go talk to the person one-on-one. If I have an issue with Brad, I talk to him one-on-one. And Brad's saying, bring it on. All right. One-on-one. Second step, go to verse 16. But if he, let's say Brad, does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by evidence of two or three witnesses. So step two, if Brad doesn't listen to what I have to say, or maybe I'm wrong too, I don't know. But if Brad doesn't listen to what I have to say, take two or three others with me, and then I'll have a conversation with Brad. So I'll go with Brad, maybe I'll team up with Sally, Brad's wife, and we'll go. So, no, I'm just kidding. But the next step is to bring two or three more with you. Verse 17, what does it say? And if he refuses to listen to the two or the three, tell it to the church. So the next step is this: bring the church. And in our context and how we structure our governing system here, we have a consistory of elders and deacons. So it would be appropriate to go get somebody from the elders or deacons to come and talk to the person that the issue is had with. And then at the end of verse 17, if then he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. And this might be harsh, but if Brad doesn't listen even then, it's almost saying, actually it is saying, it's not almost saying, it's saying, you need to exclude Brad. That sounds really harsh. And we see the words Gentile and tax collector, and we might actually look at tax collector and be like, all right, yeah, that's, we don't like that, yeah, anyway. But it says to exclude that person until they come around to repenting. And we talked about this last week in one of our elder meetings about church discipline and how it just sounds so rough and hard and not nice. And I started thinking about it as we're looking at these steps, and I thought to myself, this is what the community does. It holds people accountable, and because we're not our own, we need the community. We need to be accountable to God, and God uses the community to hold his followers accountable. And it is done by having crucial conversations, even difficult ones. And here at Bismarck Community Church, I've got this slide. Can we bring that slide up? I've got this slide where it kind of shares what our values are here at our church. And we don't just value community for community's sake, but we value community that centers on the gospel message. And last week I shared about our value of the gospel, the good news of God in the world from the beginning to the end of creation. And this week I'm going to look at our value of community. And last week when we talked about the value of the gospel and how God's good news, it spans our big story that's behind us on the wall. Last week we learned that God's gospel message saves us even from ourselves. And this week we're going to look at our value of community. You see, we know God's gospel saves us from ourselves, and this week we're going to look at what it's actually saving us for. And it might have something to do with community. It might have something to do with God. So let's turn again in our biblical text. We're going to look and turn to Genesis 2. So you're going to go all the way left, second, or the first book in the Bible, second chapter. We're going to look at the creation narrative. And last week we looked and talked about the fall of creation. This week we're going to look what happened before the fall. And before we read this again, I want to give us a little framework in case you weren't here last week. But behind us up on the stage, we have our four panels. We look at them all the time. But over on the first panel, this we call the big story, or the grand narrative, or history salvation, or salvation history. And over on this first panel is creation. And it's just this understanding and belief that God created everything, and God created it good. And then we have the second panel, which is the fall, where because of humans' disobedience, sin entered the world and tainted God's good creation. That's the fall. That's what I talked on last week. The third panel is restoration, or redemption, and that is Jesus' gospel message, that Jesus came to this earth, lived a perfect life, but then he was killed for the sins of humanity on a cross. He was buried in a tomb for 3 days. After 3 days, he defeated death, coming back to life. And then he revealed himself to many. Many people he revealed himself to. And then he ascended and is at the right hand of God the Father until one day he will return in the new creation. And that's what we look forward to, is the fourth panel, restoration, or the new creation. And what I think, even in just looking in this, is it helps us see where we are at in the story. Jesus has already come, but Jesus has not come again. So we're situated between the third and the fourth panel. So keep that in mind today as we look at our text in Genesis 2. And we're going to look at the story of creation. And it's actually the second account of our creation narrative. Genesis 1 is one creation narrative, and Genesis 2 is also a creation narrative. So starting in verse 4, if you would, in your text, follow along, and we'll read this together. And I believe hidden in this, well, not hidden, it's revealed. I believe in this text we will see that we are created for community. Verse 4, these are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the heavens and the earth. When no bush of the field was yet in the land, and no small plant of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the land. And there was no man to work the ground, and a mist was going up from the land and was watering the whole face of the ground. Verse 7. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river flowed out of Eden to water the garden, and there it divided and became four rivers. The name of the first is the Pishon. It is the one that flowed around the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good. Bdellium and onyx stone are there. Verse 13. The name of the second river is the Gihon. It is the one that flowed around the whole land of Cush. And the name of the third river is the Tigris, which flows east of Assyria. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. He's working and keeping it even before the fall. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Then the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him. Now out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all livestock and to the birds of the heavens and every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its flesh place with flesh. And then the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked, and they were not ashamed." This also is the word of God, and this is our creation narrative. And what I think is vitally important to acknowledge in this text, if you look in verse 18, it says, "And then the Lord God said" what? He said this, "It is not good that man should be alone." And what God does is he creates for the first human a community of people, one for the other. And God realized it's not good for humans to be alone. And even before God created everything, God, I think it's important to acknowledge that God existed before even creation. God exists within God's self, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We have the Trinity existing. The three are one. The one is three. Sometimes it blows our mind. Like, I don't understand it. But that is the mystery of our faith, is that the triune God existed in perfect community and relationship. The Trinity's perfect relationship was not only created all of creation, but the creation of man and woman mirrors the importance of community and relationship within human beings. And from last week's sermon, we looked at the fall in Genesis 3, which is the next chapter, where we see that sin has tainted all of God's good creation, where humans disobeyed God, and we see the first schism, or schisms. And a schism is a split or division between strongly opposed sections or parties. So we see a schism not only between God and man, but we see a schism happen, a split between Adam and Eve. We see a split happen between human and creation. All is affected by sin. Relationship with God is affected by sin. The community is affected by sin. Communication is affected by sin. Relationship with the earth is affected by sin. And everything is affected, and we experience those effects even today. Even though Jesus' redemption on the cross, our third panel, has already happened, we're still between this time period. We call it the already, but not yet. It's happening between this, where we still see the effects of sin, but one day, when Christ returns again, sin will not be anymore. And sin today, it affects our communications. And if misinterpreted, even when people have face-to-face conversations, and even when people have the difficult conversations, we still have sin and its negative effects all around us. And I'm going to prep you. I'm going to need some amens in a little bit, just to give you a little bit of time to prep yourselves. But the beautiful thing is that God created us humans for community. And we sense it, we feel it, we see it in the biblical text where it says man was not meant to be alone. And we see how much Jesus places on the church and his followers, and we need to commit to it, even though we know it is going to get us prickled, or it is going to make us uncomfortable, or it is going to hurt at times. We commit to it because we are humans and because we eagerly long for the return of Christ, when he will make all creation like it was, and even more. It will no longer even have the possibility of sin or evil to taint it. Can I get an amen? Amen. All right, let's try that again. Can I get an amen? Amen. I need somebody to say, "Preach it, brother." All right? I just heard you guys laugh. I didn't hear it. No, I'm just kidding. So I'll leave you with this. I mean, community, it's so very important. We see it all throughout Scripture that community is important to be a part of. And I'll leave us with this. Do you believe that the gospel message saves you from yourself? And if so, do you believe the community is one of the things that the gospel message saves you for? Are you connected, or are you at least trying to be connected? My challenge to you last week was to commit to the scriptures and to the gospel message that we see running all throughout the scriptures. My challenge to us this week is to commit to the community. We've got the larger Bismarck Community Church as a whole, but even as I read, there's a lot of other ways to get plugged in to community, to be known, to be vulnerable, to be a part of. Now, you might all be wondering, like, well, how do I do that? Come talk to Jared or I, talk to one of the elders or deacons, go to the app, do whatever you need to do, but you've got to get plugged in to community. I'll leave us with this. May we be a people who engage in difficult conversations for the sake of community. May we be a community who centers our lives on the gospel message, the good news of God. May we be disciples who commit to the scriptures and commit to the community with our lives. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we know you made us for community, and sometimes it's really hard to be part of community. Lord, we know that sin affects our lives, and Lord, we know one day you are going to return. We put our hope and trust in that. Whether you return in our lifetime or whether you don't, we still have hope that we will and are saved through you. Lord, you are good, and you alone are at work. Please draw us into community and help us when it's uncomfortable. It's in your name, Jesus, that we pray. Amen.